All right, let's tie into
this
book, Cosmic Contact. I don't know, well, this is either going to be one long interview or we'll break it up into two different pieces, but Taya's really dived into this book this last little while. And I mean, this is, you've had some really neat experiences with sightings and these types of things from literally your backyard in Ontario. So maybe share a little bit about the context for this book for those that aren't aware of it. And then maybe we can tie into what that means, you know, what's possibly taking place.
Okay. So I've always known, you know, operating through the quantum field that life abounds in the universe. And, I've been living in this townhouse for a couple of years, but when I first moved here, I spent the first 6-8 months pretty much in here writing Open Your Third Eye. So October 2020 came, and that one night I actually was wrapping things up. So I went outside to spend some time with my neighbors who would be out there quite a bit. And within minutes of being outside, I got the urge or the vibrational hit to look at one part of the sky, where a very large, I'm going to say 5 or 6 times larger than a normal hula hoop, appeared out of nowhere. And, you know, that was the initial sighting. And I actually, you know, let out an expletive, and I just couldn't believe what I was seeing. And we watched this a couple hundred feet above us cruise with no form of propulsion and cruise, you know, we walked onto the sidewalk to watch it where it disappeared miles off. 3 or 4 minutes later, we're back there chatting, discussing what we had just seen. And all of a sudden, my attention is brought to the northwest sky, where I see a pill-shaped object. And I recorded that as well. So I recorded both sightings. Come down at a 45-degree trajectory, quite a downward trajectory. And again, it's like, what is this? So I recorded that, and my neighbors were sort of astonished. But the true sort of, you know, the icing on the cake or the big event was about a week later, and we're in the backyard chatting, and I suddenly got, and usually our topics were always spirituality. My neighbors are very interested in that. I suddenly got sort of the vibrational hit to sort of move several feet away from them. So I'm now in the center of the backyard. And it's a crisp, clear October evening. And as I look up, I see a slow-moving triangular object about 200 or 300 feet approaching. And I distinctly remember these gray circular pads underneath it. I called the guys over, and my one neighbor, Matt, thought, are those swan? Like, what is that? I said, focus, guys. And it cruised overhead. We were so sort of astonished, and I'll use the word, you know, shock in a sense. It didn't surprise, for some reason, it didn't really surprise me, but I was sort of, you know, in awe of what we were witnessing. And I still can't believe we didn't like run onto the street or sidewalk to continue observing it. So that was the initial experience with this triangle, transforming triangle. And I'll just touch upon, as it got colder, I then began to experience spontaneous flashes of light. I'd go to throw something in recycling in the backyard, and I'd have spontaneous massive flash in the sky with nothing visible producing it. It took me almost a year to realize where these flashes were coming from. I'll then now fast forward May 2021. Where we're in the backyard, and we've been experiencing some sightings and some further sightings, but I still didn't have a full understanding of what was really taking place. So this one evening, I'm chatting with the same two neighbors, and I'm facing the driveway. And that triangle that I initially saw, because I've been asked this even by Wendy Garrett, could this be military? And my answer was absolutely not. Because when it came back, it was actually more energetic this time. And it was about 200 or 300 feet. And I remember counting 1, 2, 3, 4 pads. I said, it's back. Everyone turned around, and we watched it cruise over the neighbor's house behind us and then literally vanish. It simply went from being visible to invisible. So everyone is sort of in shock and astounded of what we just witnessed. A few minutes passed, and we're essentially in the same positions. And all of a sudden, the object reappeared. Only this time, if you can imagine a triangle dissected from top to bottom, so now you have two, and now dissected horizontally, you now have four parts. It was coming together and moving apart the same trajectory. I said, it's back. And my one Matt screamed out, BS. And me, in a very powerful voice, said, turn around. And we watched this come together and move apart. It was actually demonstrating its capability and potential to us, to me. And then we watched it vanish before our very eyes.
That's fascinating. Julio, it makes me think of, I was reading another one of Guy Needler's books, and he was talking about the different frequencies and travel between the different frequencies can happen by those in higher frequency. And as you know, we within this physical realm are at the lowest of all frequencies, but how frequent travel within the frequencies can actually happen between folds almost. And as you were describing, almost the ship disintegrating and then coming together in a more solid way that you could see it, it made me think of, oh, I wonder if that's the fold that they were kind of traveling within in order to arrive at this particular frequency for them to be visible to us.
That's amazing that you mentioned that, because in my observing this and through clarity, I've realized even when I watch it go through the sky, and it's how effortless it is, because this object can literally upgrade its energy signature to the point where it becomes orbs. And they always appear to essentially be traveling in their own dimension. The only thing is, I'm witnessing it. So there is so much more. And just to backtrack quickly, you know, with my psychic abilities development, you know, and having my paranormal experiences, I knew anything was possible. The things I've seen, I absolutely knew. This just kicked the door in completely. And I realized, you know, these have always been here. They're actually future versions of us, in a sense, and they're connected to our highest self, to our own consciousness, and they've always been present. And the thing I want to get across is there is so much more to the unseen that is around us. Again, it's one of those things where it's almost unspeakable, what is taking place around us. And the way to begin to tap into that and become aware of it is awareness.
There is so much to unpack in what you just said, but I had mentioned this before too, like before Jay and I would talk about extraterrestrials and aliens, and we, you know, just looking at the night sky and seeing how vast this universe is, like how could we have ever thought we were alone in this world? But when you're speaking of extraterrestrials, and you're saying they're from our future, there's so much there that could be unpacked, because then our higher self, so we've spoken of this in previous interviews as well with RJ as well as Guy. So there's the origin, the all that there is, and then there's the 12 source entities that were created through the origin, desiring, longing to know more and understand more of itself, to experience more of itself. And from those 12 source entities, our source created us, you know, the physicality that we knew it. And we were basically at the bottom of all the frequencies, so the furthest away from source that you can get. And our individuality, which is an aspect of our true energetic self or our higher self, then can create not only this human form, but also another form and a more energetic form, or another form that we would call or identify as alien or extraterrestrial, but in essence is just another form that we could have incarnated into in order to experience. Is that correct? Is that accurate?
That is quite accurate. And how I would touch upon that is this, just to give an overview, there are essentially three levels to our reality. So from the highest point of view, from source point of view, we are all that is and all that is not. So we're everything and everything that isn't. From another point of view, as we now come down, is our soul is multidimensional. And our soul is living lives in alternate realities, in other lives here on this earth. Okay. And then from another point of view, we come down, we have this individual life that, you know, the Tia, the Jason, and the Julio. So there's many, many levels of existence to us. So when you operate from inner stillness, you realize it's all you. So just to touch upon even that word alien, we look at sharks. So sharks have a very alien existence relative to us. They breathe underwater. You know, they look quite different from us, but we don't treat them as alien because we grew up understanding them and knowing about them. So how is, so again, it comes down to perception. So we don't see that as alien, but because we have an understanding, and because the masses, the majority don't have an understanding of these extraterrestrials, we see them as alien. So alien, the word alien, you know, to me is it's simply we're not fully understanding what this is relative to us. And when you come from that awareness, that when you operate through inner stillness, you realize there's actually nothing really alien to you because it's all a part of you. You're all one with it. So that is sort of a breakdown, you know, from the highest self, you're one with all that is. And then, you know, the soul, you know, is having multiple realities, including extraterrestrials. And then you have the you that is here and now.
So what do you think at this point in time that is kind of going on with more and more awareness around this? Is this that, you know, humanity is kind of moving into higher sort of states of consciousness to be able to become aware of them? Or is there a reason why their presence is becoming more common, I guess, more apparent? Definitely more than it has in a, you know, a long past. And not just in this conversation, but that's a conversation that's going around a lot this last while. I think all over the place with it, probably lots of different perspectives on it, but it is something that's definitely more in the awareness for people now. What is your take as far as why that's coming up now more than ever?
I would say as the veil is thinning within ourselves, so we're becoming more clear and more aware, we're becoming aware of what has always been present. And as one, I'm going to say the word, as one is becomes more harmless in that sense, so you're operating through unconditional love, that is the frequency or the awareness that they're operating from. They're actually not very different from us. If you want to say what is the difference, is they simply have a greater understanding of those hidden mechanics to life. They're energy masters. And they have senses of humor too. Incredible senses of humor. There have been times where I'll be, you know, January last year, I'm out in the backyard and suddenly I realize there's a low stationary star. And I realized it wasn't a star. My inner knowing suddenly told me, you're being watched. So I spoke out and said, you're not a star. And it suddenly vanished. And I've had several of those happen. And a lot of times I'll have a spontaneous flash of light and I'll ask it to do it again. And it does. And sometimes they don't. And I can't help but burst into laughter because they're enlightened. They're not attached to someone wanting them to do something. So I actually find it quite comical. So the sense of humor behind it is, to me, is still astonishing, even though I realize, you know, we're all one in stillness. But there is so much more. And the thing I would add too is, don't wait for something outside of you, you know, to give you disclosure, because, you know, it's sort of like enlightenment. If you're waiting for someone outside of you to give you enlightenment, you're going to be waiting forever. It's an inner experience, you know. So meeting your true self, your authentic spiritual self, that's who you actually meet, your star family, because they are fully aware and they've evolved to the point where they can upgrade, downgrade their energy signature, teleport. They know, and they send me signals when to go outside, but they know, they already know when I'm heading outside. Oftentimes I will literally be seconds into being on the porch and they appear and they just power up and then go dim. And it's a playful thing.
The Inspire Health Podcast will be right back.
The station that makes you feel good.
The cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise. Elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Julia, what do you think their motivation is in connecting with you? Because I know you have also had a conversation with them, and I want to get more into that and how that happened and how it is that you're able to speak to them. But what do you think their motivation is in speaking with you directly?
I almost get the sense that I'm somewhat of like an intermediary. So I'm sort of like introducing them to those who are ready to make that connection. So what happened was, thankfully, as the sightings were taking place, I was recording and I was actually sort of journaling dates, times, what happened. And when I had quite a bit enough there, I sort of put my attention, because understanding how the quantum field operates and what is possible through putting your attention and intention to something, I simply put my thought I turned the computer on and I basically started asking who, what, when, where, why, who are you? Why are you here? And I was receiving, before I was even finishing asking those questions, the downloads were coming down like pancakes. They were just boom, boom, boom. And it was a matter of me just dictating it. And the amazing or the miraculous thing is, when those downloads come, it's just an instant knowing. So all the answers have arrived, I now have to translate that information into words. So they're showing up for a few reasons, to realize that we have, from one point of view, you know, an army of light surrounding us, and they're here to inspire us. They're here to show us what's possible, our potentials, and to realize that we are supported, you know, and guided. So it's important for me to mention too, absolutely, they come in peace. Any narrative that speaks otherwise, and I've heard of the narratives that they're negative, that they're this and that, it is a fallacy. So it, like anything, if you put your attention, so one who is, let's say, suffering a lot, you know, you can attract lower energies and lower frequencies. That happens. But when you're operating through faith, trust, and unconditional love, you're gonna like attracts like. So I'm connecting with beings that are benevolent and that are supporting and that want to remind us of our cosmic connection.
When people talk about something that could be negative, is that also in the reality though? Like, is that something then that is there negative ETs out there too that could be
out there or in here?
Yeah, either way. But I'm just wondering, like, when some people do say that, are they actually connecting to something that is negative that is a possibility as well, or how does that work?
I should probably, there's so many things coming to me right now. I should probably mention, personally within us, the only thing that is alien to us is the ego. So that's a negative entity. That's a possessive entity. That is that which, you know, our minds are so powerful. So from a personal point of view, if we give that belief to negative entities, you will literally create that, because mm-hmm. everything is a potential in the quantum field. Absolutely everything under the sun and beyond. So the only thing truly that is alien is the egoic mind, relative to who we are spiritually. What has been taking place in the backyard has been profoundly spiritual in nature. I've sort of, especially when the orbs come in or when the triangle comes in, I related so much to my own inner awakening when the third eye activated, and almost even more profound. Every chakra in me lights up, and it's such an exhilaration, and it's important. And I do this. You have to maintain a balance to it. So I will leave a certain amount of time when I'm out there to connect and to experience, because I feel I need to share with what's going on and realize, you know, that we have an extended cosmic family that is here. And it's going to be a matter of time where face-to-face contact takes place. From what started as sightings once a week, you know, to every few weeks, has accelerated. April 29th of last year, we literally had this transforming triangle, these orbs come in, and for an hour it came in, and I remember sketching different patterns in the northwest sky as it revealed itself to us. Absolutely just incredible.
You were talking about face-to-face contact. I'm curious, as far as how do you think communication is going to be as this progresses? Is it going to be more from a almost like a consciousness exchange as opposed to a physical kind of a exchange, or what do you kind of see from that perspective?
I see a sort of a physical meeting, but it's going to be, my sense is more telepathic in nature. And it's sort of like, you know, I'm operating through that dimension of inner stillness, and they are operating from that dimension of inner stillness, but they're vibrating at such a high frequency. It's going to be sort of an uplifting or sort of a merging. My sense is there's going to be even more DNA activations taking place when that face to face happens. It's almost like a remembrance is going to take place, just as the remembrance took place when the third eye opened. So But I see it as, for example, like, you know, with the triangle or with the objects, there is no sound to this. It's all visual and it's all vibratory and energetic. It's gotten to the point where I now know where they're going to appear in the sky. I see differences in the darkness. I see movement in the darkness, and I will literally flash the light. It's almost like hide and seek. They can't essentially hide from me anymore. I sort of know where they're going to be, and you feel a charge. You'll feel a charge in the environment, and then you know when they're done. So it could be 20 minutes. It could be a half hour, and then you just feel the overwhelming stillness come back to the environment. So it's been absolutely profound. And the other thing I'll mention too is, as one, if one has the, you know, desire to experience this, you have to let go of how and what it'll look like, because if you have your mind set on a certain thing, you might miss, for example, the orbs. Oftentimes they're so blended in the night sky, but I'll get the vibrational hit. Basically, they always appear in my sight line. So it's just a matter of just keeping my head tilted up and they'll appear overhead.
We've noticed objects in the sky too since we actually moved here in 2020 on Vancouver Island. And we'll post a picture of the cloud formations that were really interesting when we were by the ocean one time. But you mentioned this in your book as well, Julio, that it may be objects, but they may also be cloaked in clouds as well. Can you speak a little bit more about the different ways in which they may be visible, these objects?
Absolutely. I'll start by saying I don't look at clouds the same way anymore. They do cloak in clouds. Oftentimes I'll see clouds in the shape of craft and you just have a knowing. But I will mention the one experience we had, you know, where my neighbor suddenly noticed lights dancing in the clouds off to the northwest sky. And it wasn't very obvious. You'd have to really focus. It took a few seconds to see what my neighbor was seeing. And then my other neighbor realized it too. And then moments later, we had close range sightings. So a lot of times these dancing lights, these spontaneous flashes of light in the sky, they're basically signaling we're here and we're going to be coming in closer. And I have found that the experience and the gradual, from one point of view, I laugh. I'm saying gradual. It wasn't really gradual when the triangle showed up. It was like, look how close I am. But yeah. but the sightings then, you know, progressively to the point where I have an awareness of when they're here and what the flashes of light are now, what the source is, it's accelerated because there was never any fear. I was completely comfortable even from the first sort of, you know, sighting. So there is more to clouds in that sense, and they can manipulate clouds. And I could touch upon this briefly. Is I was power walking. So this is 2 years prior to the sightings in Hamilton at a park. And I came around the turn, and for no reason whatsoever, if you ask me why did I do it, I don't know. I took my camera. It was very sunny. I took a picture of the sky and I kept walking. I tried to look at what I took, but there was a lot of sun glare. I got home later on and I was reminded to look at that picture. And if you look at it, and I've posted it on Twitter and Instagram, you see a gray. So you see one cloud on the left appear as a gray and one on the right, almost like another species. And I was sort of taken aback when I saw that. And I didn't make much of it. I showed it to friends, even to some skeptical friends. And I said, what do you see? And they immediately saw two faces looking back. So I didn't make much of it. I sort of put it in the back of my mind. And then 2 years fast forward, 2020, the sightings began.
Mm. What's interesting that I want to point out here in your book, The Cosmic Contact, you have lots of exercises as well for people. So, you know, particular ones, 10 ways to practice self-love and other meditations, quite a few of them within this book as well. And what you mentioned specifically is that our cosmic family, or, you know, family, because we're essentially all interconnected, is waiting to make contact with us, but we must meet them halfway. And so when you spoke of, you know, the tapping into unconditional love and forgiveness, that is raising our frequency enough so that we are able to connect with the ETs. Can you speak a little bit more about the relevance of that?
The Inspire Health Podcast will be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movement and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Sure, it's if you want to make that connection, it's important to sort of get past the fear and get past the fear of the unknown to let go of things that are holding you back. I've realized that the paranormal, okay, and even ufology, it's all the same thing when it comes to spirituality. Everything we're experiencing is an expression of consciousness, is an expression of spirit. So if you want to interface with something, you sort of have to resonate with it. So if one is operating through fear, your energetic signature is not going to match their signature. It would actually, if a face-to-face, let's say, could happen, if it were possible, which it wouldn't in that sense, it would be too overwhelming for that human being because the frequencies are just that overwhelming. I'm talking from my point of view, so operating through inner stillness already, when these objects are 30, 40 feet above, you know, my townhouse, I can feel that power and upliftment. It's I don't want to say it's overwhelming, but you can sense the power behind it. So that's why it's important to sort of shift. And this is where we're headed as a collective. We're shifting from separation and fear to oneness and unconditional love. And it's in that space of unconditional love where you will meet your extended spiritual or cosmic family.
Mm. Julio, question for you. When you said you took a picture and you recognized the two figures, are those two figures part of the collective that are creating contact with you now? Or are there different groups that you're connecting with?
My sense is that those were simply parts of the collective making that initial sort of here we are. When I asked, do you have a name? they essentially don't go by names. So they're sort of transcendent beyond that. So I've realized what you're tapping into is essentially another aspect of you, of who we are as spiritual beings. So it's sort of a little sort of knock on the door saying, hey, we're here and look what we can do. Because the consciousness-based technology that I've witnessed over the last 2 years has been absolutely unbelievable. And I understand, you know, the shock that some people can have when you hear these things, but unless they happen to me, and I'm very grateful I had two other people with me, especially for these close range sightings, because they were absolutely astounding.
You know, for people that this is sort of a new world to even thinking about this stuff, I know when I really started to look into quantum physics more and quantum mechanics and just really try and understand that. And then the PhD I'm working with is all looking at medicine through the eyes of quantum physics. So it's really, you get immersed in that world. And when you really start to allow those concepts to sink in, you really realize like what we once thought and still a lot of times still do think of this physical reality, it is such a very, very small part of what the greater reality is and can be. And it's really infinite because it's so based on your focus and your attention and infinite possibilities around stuff. And you start to get into ideas of just how vast the universe is. And then you get into all these concepts around like just dimensions. I mean, it's infinite. So the thought that we're not having, you know, different sort of energies that we can come in contact with, at a certain point, it became almost like that just seems so far out there, to how could it be anything but, you know, it's more just when do we get to a certain point where we are able to have a relationship with it in some regard and have it available to us, right?
We're moving that way. And the important thing is, you know, to tap into that spiritual reality within ourselves. When you become aware of the spiritual self, the nature within, the true self, then you see that in the outer. Then you realize this is not a physical world. This is actually a spiritual world. Nothing is concrete. Just the circumstances are not concrete. It's all malleable based on our perception, our awareness. So there is nothing, for example, although it appears very concrete, it's all the same energy, just coalesced into different sort of configurations. So when you realize that we're in the quantum field already, that's when you just kick the door wide open to possibilities and to potentials to sort of express.
And personally, I find it just makes life more fun. It's a bit more of like a game. You start to play with stuff. You start to get less focused on what you think is possible versus what could be possible.
More malleable,
it's really a lot more kid-like in this playfulness and this sort of open curiosity and creativity that comes from it. So, you know, it just makes life more fun. It's like when you start to believe that synchronicities are important to pay attention to, you know, and then you start to kind of open yourself up to this whole new world of sort of assistance and guidance that's there. But we're just not open to it before. So, you know, and then you start to see it impact your life in different ways that are more beneficial. And then I think you start to accept it into your life more openly too.
Absolutely. I love those points you made. And to touch upon it is, I was already not taking things seriously, but observing their sense of humor, okay, with everything that's going on in the world, it just brought my non-seriousness to an entirely cosmic level in that sense. That they see, you know, what is happening and they know where humanity is headed. And at some point I'm going to be holding, I'm going to have to hold like these events where I just sort of call in the craft and people experience it. Because when you see the playfulness behind it by these beings, it's just absolutely, it's astonishing.
You know, it's funny. I've mentioned before that I really love, and humors come in many, mm-hmm. many aspects of different conversations. And I've often talked about how humor is such a powerful way to sort of immediately change context of a situation. And I feel like that's partly what we all need right now anyways, is, you know, we need to have a very almost instantaneous way to shift our context so that we see the world anew. You know, we shift positions and we just see it differently. And then it's not an intellectual process anymore. You feel it, you know it from a different perspective. So your reality and what you see and what you allow in completely changes.
Absolutely. And the ones who've been feeding us their narrative, they want you more serious. They want you afraid. They want you taking action based out of fear. Where I'm being revealed, like, look at this, like, really look at it. So, you know, when you come from a clarity, you know, you could actually look at the ego and the seriousness of it and laugh at it. The moment you can do that, then you realize, you know, there is, you know, taking life seriously, that's what contracts your energy. That what makes you rigid. You don't think clearly when you're in that space. So it's breaking open and just allowing the authentic self and the joy, you know, the humor, the lightness of it to express. Again, you're aware of what's taking place, but you're not allowing the outer world being repeated in your consciousness.
I just had a picture as you were speaking, Julio, of the powers that were are speaking to the ego, the identity, the cloak that we used to wear, and we simply being the light beings that we are, and we know that we are, and stepping more into the light of that which we truly are, we start to release that old cloak of the ego and just leave it behind with the forces that were. So what remains is this empty cloak, because we finally stepped into the true nature of our being.
Absolutely. It's a shedding process. Mm-hmm. So you're shedding limiting beliefs, you're shedding perceptions that are limiting, because as you do that, you're now allowing the limitlessness in you to express. We have to really remember not to see ourselves as physical bodies and realize we literally wield the infinite potential and possibility of source energy. Source energy, which is within us, is not diminished in any way, shape, or form simply, you know, because we took on a physical body, which in reality is 99.99999% space. There, it is not real relative to the unmanifested, eternal, unchanging essence that is us. So that is being self-realized. And now you simply think, speak, and take action based on that knowingness, again, that you know, despite what you see, all things are possible. Literally.
Well, and that's a really important one, because a lot of times what we take as truth is what we see through the, or what we perceive through the five senses. Mm-hmm. And a lot of this is not necessarily, it's like this sort of knowing doesn't necessarily arrive through the five senses, which is what our template was for what we decided was real and what was truthful in the world. It's sort of allowing this knowingness. And then sometimes even with what you're seeing or hearing in the external world, that kind of trumps that quote unquote reality.
Absolutely. Again, it's that integration. So you're merging your spiritual nature with the experience of the temporary experience of being human. And when you do that, energy speaks to you. You now experience vibration and feeling and intuition. And your other senses as well, though, are heightened. Hearing is heightened. Sight is heightened. I've noticed my sight, for example, with experiencing these craft has vastly improved to the point where, like I said, you're seeing things that should be almost invisible. Even craft that are completely virtually blended in night sky, I'm picking up. I know exactly where they are, and I'm literally seeing them move. And I'm, you know, I'm just sort of shooting out there. I see you. I know where you are in there.
I wonder if even like as we tap more and more into our true essence and being that and embodying that, if we're purifying even the five senses.
Yeah.
Is that how you would see things happening, Julia?
Sort of, yeah, in a sense, purifying. So as your energetic frequency, as your energy that you operate through is sort of purified and allowed to sort of come to the surface. So you're letting go of negative thoughts, emotions, and those things that sort of cloak your psychic abilities. You're just seeing through that lens of clarity. Again, it's all coming from that dimension of inner stillness, that emptiness, from that nothingness. But from that nothingness comes virtually every single spiritual faculty you need to be successful in life. So there's really nothing that operating through inner stillness can't help transform your life, whether it's a relationship, whether it's attracting abundance, whether it's just letting go and not being stuck anymore. So getting out of that loop of past future by realizing that eternal moment of now, that reality that is unchanging.
And would you say that the forces that were, Julio, are not wanting this connection to be made? And that's why, you know, it's appeared in movies over and over again as these ETs being of negative nature and having malice intentions?
Absolutely. So you realize, you know, especially these last 2 years have really opened our eyes that every single thing that they've put out there is to convince you of something that really isn't reality. So even looking back, you know, watching, you know, these movies, I would look at them and watch them, but you're watching them through inner stillness. So you're not giving it belief. You're simply observing. And that's how you really enjoy it, because you really see the illusion of it. Mm-hmm. But they are terrified of, all they know is fear. They're terrified of the awakening. They're terrified of making a connection. So they have to create these narratives because, and again, you know, they're already too late. There's already several masters here that have ascended, and the connections are, you know, with the cosmic family is already taking place, and it's only accelerating now. So in essence, we're just watching the crumbling, you know, every day more and more crumbling of these systems. And they're crumbling because there are so many beings who are connected to their inner light. And that's what the word apocalypse means. It means the revealing. And so it's by us being here. You know, I'll mention this. If they had tried this, let's say 25, 30 years ago, they probably would have succeeded because there weren't people, there weren't enough sort of beings operating through that centeredness and through that light to be aware of what's going on. So the perfection and the timing of all of this is, to my eyes, excruciating how perfect the timing is to all of it. And, you know, I've been through, and you guys are aware, you know, I've been through some storms that were needed to wake me up. And I realized those storms had to come the way they did, because it just reminds me of how powerful that inner being is. And so going through those storms, I can't help but, you know, to be honest, almost laugh at what they're trying to take place, because we have so much support in so many ways. It's just more important than ever. Reconnect and come to know who you truly are. Let go of the fear and just trust. The trust is what opens the door to everything. Mm-hmm.
Julio, in closing here, any final last words or even some basic practical steps for people to leave them with at the end of this interview that they can start to integrate?
And as far as returning and becoming the masters of their own lives.
Yeah, I think tying back to that idea of just really stepping back into the mastery of their own life. Because I think ultimately from that place, then,
limitless possibilities. Then,
yeah, all of the what's in the highest good is ultimately going to be coming. So
again, I'm not going to tiptoe, as you guys know. There is already an enlightened master within each and every one of us. Nothing can be added to us. Awareness is what opens the door to realizing that. So you have to, it's bringing awareness and to the egoic mind, to the thinking mind, to the past and future, and allowing yourself to realize the truth or the non-truth to that. So a quick little thing. If you are beginning, if you're in sort of that 4D reality where you're starting to question your beliefs, I suggest this. Take the automatic negative thoughts that are coming to you and write them down. And then look at them with clarity. And then ask yourself, is this true? And see what comes. Because when you look at things with clarity and you take a step back with detachment, the truth is always revealed. So there is already a whole and complete spiritual being inside of us. We're not broken. We're not damaged. We are simply spiritual beings having a human experience. So we need to just make that shift in awareness. That's all enlightenment is from a shift from focusing on the egoic mind to making now, which is on the surface, to shifting attention inward to beingness, to stillness.
Beautiful. And I'm glad you mentioned writing there as well, Julio. That's come up several times as well. Kathy O'Brien talked about the importance of overcoming challenging previous beliefs by writing things down. RJ talked about quoted Plato as saying that writing is the geometry of the soul. So yeah, getting just the pencil onto the paper and writing it down and seeing sometimes how ridiculous and funny and humorous these
and
thoughts
repetitive.
Are.
And repetitive. Right.
It highlights the absurdity of the thinking mind, and even just start labeling it. That's fear. That's guilt. That's look how it's either trying to keep you stuck in the past, which is depression, sadness, regret, guilt, or it's projecting in the future, fear, worry, uncertainty, doubt. And it can only offer you what it is. So if you realize I can't change the ego can't evolve. Do you know why? The ego can't evolve because it isn't real. Mm. It isn't real relative to the soul, to the spirit, to the authentic self. So all you can do is shift the way you perceive it.
This comes to the end of our time for this episode. Please go to inspirehealthpodcast.com and listen to the remainder of this important episode. Thank you so much.